Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries Radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has so many wonderful things to say and share with His people. As we yield to the Lord, there's nothing we can't do. There's nothing we can't learn. And the things of this life can become easily solved. The problems and also the blessings that we desire to attain, the Lord has the answer. And I thank Him for it. God is doing wonderful things, and He's using His resources, people who yield to Him, people who just yield to the Holy Spirit, people that will do His word. And remember, the word of God is not the word of God is not like other secular books. It's spiritually alive, and it charges our heart. When the Lord revealed to you the answer, you have to believe it. And it has to be strong in your heart so that you don't lose the charge. A car battery works when it's charged. Well, the word of God charges our heart. And life, just living life and doing God's will, it depletes that charge. So we go back, even though we know the facts of the word of God, we study it to recharge our heart. And we can do a great, God can do a work through us. And one thing that's very important is family. I love family. I always have. And I always will. God loves people. And today we have a wonderful speaker. My pastor, Pastor Jim McCann, the third. And his vision, his life vision, is changing families that change the world. We're the light of the world and the salt of the earth simultaneously at the same time. If it wasn't for the light of the world and the salt of the earth, the earth would have rotted by now. But because there are people who love God sincerely, not only was the Lord able to help His people thrive, but technology has boomed in the last 200 years. Remember, about 150 years ago, there were no cars. About 200 and something years ago, there were no trains. Everything that we see, all the technology, it came within 200 years, 225 years. And I thank God for all of it. But it takes families that love God, people that love God to make up families, and families that love God to make up our society and our nation. And I thank the Lord for it. The next voice you hear is that of Pastor Jim McCann. And the church is Victory Christian Fellowship. It's 2440 Minor Parkway. That's Victory Christian Fellowship, 2440 Minor Parkway. And the telephone number is 791-WORD. And remember, all these broadcasts are on the website, newlivingletters.com. In real time, you can hear this right now. In real time, you can download it and share it with your friends. That's newlivingletters.com. Now, the next voice you hear is that of Pastor Jim McCann.
Praise God. Glad to be here, man. Good to see you again. Yeah, man, we've been having some great services at the church.
Yeah.
I'd like to invite everybody out there. You know, again, as Thurston was saying, here at Victor Christian Fellowship, 2440 Minor Parkway, Adamsville, Alabama. You can also tune in to us, on line. You can watch us online live, on YouTube. You can go there and watch us live, on our service on Sunday morning. We're also we're on television broadcast. We come on Sunday morning at 8:30 on, if you have a cable,
yeah,
on channel 80.
Yeah.
We have services on channel 80 at 8:30 on Sunday morning, and I believe it's 10 o'clock. I think they moved us to 10 o'clock on Saturday night. I believe that's the time. But we'd love to have you come out and be a part of us. We just got through ministering on a entire series on why we need revival in the church and why do we study revival. And then now, of course, we begin talking about prayer, mm-hmm, which is the utmost importance for, yeah, revival. These are actually the secrets of answered prayer, yeah, on Sunday morning. Love to have you come out, be a part of it. But, Thurston was asking why, or asking about, our vision is changing families that change the world. But years ago, many, many years ago, this was probably 79, 80, around that time, I was had not entered the ministry yet. I knew I was called to the ministry, and I knew that I was supposed to go to Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rhema Bible College, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I remember telling my wife I needed some answers, and I grabbed my Bible and I said, I'm going to the woods and I won't come back till I hear from God. And I had a stump out there in them woods that I'd sit on and pray.
I remember your mom told me that story.
Yeah. And I'd go out there in them woods and I'd sit on that, and I went out there and I got to crying out to God, and God carried me to Habakkuk chapter 2, record the vision, and he spoke to me.
Yeah.
And he told me exactly what to do. And so I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, you know, and actually before then, of course, I, you know, after, you know, the Lord spoke to me right before I left, he said, you know, I went to a little old Baptist church before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And I remember the church was a wonderful church, still is a good church. It was filled with love, you know, people loved one another, you know, they cared about one another. It was a very family-oriented church, you know, and fellowship dinners, the whole bit, you know.
Yeah.
And I began noticing that, you know, when I began to leave that church, because I didn't want to cause any contention there, because I had loved the people there and I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was during the charismatic movement. And I went to another church, which was actually the first Rhema church in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And I went over there to that church and began to see some things. And I began to see that, you know, I saw the gifts of the Spirit. I saw the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God like I never heard it before. I mean, I seen people get healed. I seen the praise and the worship. Man, it was the presence of God was there. But I noticed that there was no... When it was over, everybody kind of just split, you know.
Yeah.
They just ran, you know. There was no fellowship, no nothing, you know, like you had in the other church.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me. He said, okay, here's what I want you to do. And I was about to go to Rhema. He said, when you get out, he said, you know, and he said, and when I tell you to, he said, I want you to take the love, the concern, and the care of family, that family atmosphere, and the love that you found in that little Baptist church.
Yeah.
But then I want you to take the power of the Holy Ghost, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow, the move of the Spirit, the teaching of the Word of Faith, you know, and the praise and the worship. And I want you to combine the two together.
Yeah.
And he said, and you'll have an explosive force for God, teaching to make strong, preaching to empower, healing to bring hope. Then he said, changing families that change the world. Because you see, there's only one thing that can change a human heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But see, it's not just that. After a person is saved, the most important thing in the world for them to do is to get into the Word of God.
Yeah.
They've got to learn how to live. You know, I thank God, you know, Thurston, I thank God for the sweet by and by.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to heaven. You know, but, you know, I'm still living in the sweet now and now.
That's right.
You know, and I have to put up, we have to put up with one another. We have to put up with junk going on in the church, you know, put up with junk going on in the world.
Yep.
And to put up with people, unloving people, but also tests, trials, and tribulations, you know, of this life. And, you know, we're always going to have those things. So we have to know how to overcome them. And we overcome them by faith.
Yep.
And if you don't know how to live by faith, you know, Brother Hagin, Dad always taught us, he said, there's three things you need to be always studying on.
Yes.
You always need to be studying on faith, because you're going to have faith to believe God.
That's right.
You're going to need to always be studying on healing, because you need healing for your body, and prosperity. You know, because you got to pay your bills.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, you're to study other things. But he said everybody needs to be have that generally, you know, that basic, you know, that right there, always doing something. Because the first thing you need to know is what faith is, he said. How, you know, how to get faith, you know, how faith comes. And then also you got to know how to turn your faith loose.
Yeah.
You know, and how to live by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that the just, the justified ones, those are who are born again, that's us, are to live by faith. Notice it said they're to live by faith. That denotes a way of life, not just on Sunday morning.
Right.
You know, you got to live by faith, you see. And faith is a force. It's not a church you belong to. Well, what faith are you? Yeah. Well, I'm Baptist, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Pentecostal, or I'm Word of Faith. No, faith is a force.
Right.
You know, and faith is, and you have to learn how to apply the principles of God's Word.
That's right.
I mean, it's obvious that the Word of God is, you know, people say, oh, yes, I love the Word of God, you know. I heard a story one time as a joke this pastor said, and the pastor came over and visited, and to this couple's home. They just visited the church, and she wanted to impress the pastor, and so she said, "Oh, honey," speaking to her daughter, said, "Oh, young little girl," said, "honey, go get Mama's the book that Mama loves," and she brought back the spring catalog, you know, for shopping, you know. And one of the most important thing for anybody to do after they're saved is to get into a good Bible believing church that will teach you how to live, not how to die.
That's right.
You know, I mean, thank God, you know, yes, I believe it. You got to know how to die, too. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, your ticket's bought. You
That's
understand?
Right. That's right.
And I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, I got to know how to live.
That's right. In the world, there's so many distractions. And the enemy knows if he can change your focus, he can change your future.
That's right.
Everything hinges on the love of God.
Absolutely,
staying
brother.
In his love. Faith works by love. We have to have faith to conquer in life. And some things are just going to have to be conquered. Some things you're going to have to go to God's word in order to destroy the problem that exists.
Absolutely.
You know, Brother Horton used to say in Sunday school, your faith can change the facts on the ground where you are.
That's right.
Or the facts in your body. And we need the Lord provided healing because we need it.
Absolutely. Yeah, healing is in. So that's what folks need to grab a hold of right there.
Yeah,
you know, and say he provided healing for us. For an example, you know, a lot of people they think that healing is sovereign. Well, you know, God does sovereignly heal.
Yeah.
You know, for an example, we know an example of that is at the Pool of Bethesda when the angel would come and trouble the water.
Yeah.
You know, and the first one that got in, got healed. Anybody else didn't get healed. You know, they got in there, you know. The first one that jumped in, you know. Well, God's, you know, I thank God got healed sovereignly, but, you know, it's not, you know, God, you can't box God in. God's given us ways and methods in the Word of God to get our healing.
Yeah.
See, healing is not sovereign. It's in redemption.
It is.
Isaiah 53:4. 4 and 5 says, "Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." That's the word coily and macabre in the Hebrew, and it's sicknesses and pains. He bore your sicknesses and bore your pains. "Surely he had borne our griefs and sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed."
That's right.
Well, that's known as the redemptive chapter. But notice that just assuredly in the redemptive chapter, he bore our sins, he also bore our sicknesses.
Yeah.
So healing is in redemption. And you receive it the same way, by grace through faith, you see. And so important for people to realize that it is ours. And just as surely, and it is the will of God to save the soul, it is the will of God to heal the body.
That's right. Even the chastisement of our peace, depression, and mental anguish.
That's right.
And these things are healed. We can be healed and free of it.
Absolutely.
And then you can think with a sound mind.
Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of the sound mind, though, you know, everything Jesus did, I mean, there was a reason. You know, the Bible says by his stripes we're healed. He talks about the chastisement of our peace being upon him and so forth. And he was wounded for our transgressions, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The crown of thorns that was on his head is representative of all the mental anguish, you see, that you go through, all the emotional problems and all the things. You know, that's why the Bible teaches us to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one way to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
See, here's what a lot of folks don't understand, okay? When you get saved, people say, "Oh, praise God, that's it, I'm on my way to heaven." They stop right there. Thank God. I'm glad you're on your way to heaven.
Yeah.
But, you know, You got to get that stinking thinking straightened out if you're going to walk in victory.
That's right.
You know, if you have problems, emotional problems, or you're dealing with depression or anxiety, or whatever, everybody faces things like that.
Yeah.
Even ministers, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and but the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9-10, it says there, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." Well, you see, if I want to prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, which shows us three wills there, by the way. Yep. There's the good will of God, the good, acceptable, and perfect. There's the good will of God. For an example, if I'm sick, I go to the doctor, he gives me medication, and I go home, because the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Medicine's
right.
good for us.
It is.
So, you know.
And it's wise.
And it's wise. That's right. You know, then the acceptable will of God would be, if it, in regard to healing, somebody comes up and lays hands on me, I get healed.
Yeah.
Or I take my faith and I believe God and I get healed, or the gifts of the Spirit flows in or begins to flow, the gifts of healings, and I get healed. You understand? That's the acceptable will of God. But then there's the perfect will of God, where I just don't get sick.
Yeah,
I just stay healthy. Glory to God. You know. But see, if you don't know this, how can you apply your faith?
Yeah.
You have to renew your mind with the Word of God. The Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing." You see,
yeah.
Or don't have any anxiety about anything. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to have to renew your mind with the Word of God. You're going to have to begin to think like God thinks, talk like God talks, see,
yeah.
You know, begin to operate the way God operates. In other words, you begin to develop the mind of Christ, you begin to get your flesh under control,
yeah.
You begin to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, see,
right.
And you begin to overcome the world with your faith, because faith is what overcomes the world.
That's right. And you know, when you're starting out and you're obeying the Word and you're seeking the Lord and He gives you answers, or He calls you to see the solution in the Word and you apply it, it can be surprising how well it works. And there were times, you know, I didn't know how, you didn't, in your mind, you don't know how it's going to work. You just apply the Word from the heart. You receive it in your heart and you speak it, and then it works.
Absolutely.
And, and at first it can be surprising to people.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be surprised all the time. But as you grow in the Lord, you know it's going to work, and you're going to be fine.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, see, there's always, just like with anything, you know, if you start exercising, you start doing something, there's always that first part of pushing through.
Yeah.
You know, your body gets sore. Everything's, you know, and you got to push it. You push it. You push it. You push it.
Mm-hmm.
But then all at once, it becomes habit.
It does.
See?
Yeah.
You know, after 21 days, I believe it is, or 28 days. I think it's 21. Something, you do it consistently for 21 days, it becomes a habit.
It becomes a habit.
And you see, that's the thing. You know, I've always told people, just keep pushing. Just keep pushing.
Yeah.
You know, and all at once, it clicks. You see?
Yeah.
And I remember. You know, I used to lay hands on, you know, when I first started laying hands on the sick, first person I laid hands on died.
Yeah.
You know, that was discouraging. You know what I'm saying? But I found out later that when I would leave, somebody would come in behind me, another minister would come in behind me and tell this lady, no, he's wrong. You know, I would get her. She was head of incurable disease.
Yeah.
And when I was there, nobody was talking to her. You know, behind me, she began to get better and better and better. She even began to get out, you know, where she was begin strong. She began to apply what I did. Well, somebody, so she belonged to her family belonged to this old traditional church.
Yeah.
And they seen this charismatic Word of Faith Pentecostal preacher come in there because somebody asked me to come in there.
Yeah.
And she's getting better, but their religion got all messed up, see?
Yeah.
Well, she's getting better, but they don't want her to leave, you know, if she gets better, she might leave the church, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, they sent their pastor over there, and he would say, no, it's the will of God for you to die. Well, I kept trying to figure out how come when I won't go back for maybe a week,
yeah.
And when I get back over there, you know, for 2 weeks, she's doing wonderful. And then I found out he was coming in behind me and tearing up digging up all the seed that I'd planted,
yeah.
And she died.
And it happens.
Yeah, and if he had left her alone,
mm-hmm.
You know, she'd probably be still alive today.
Right.
You know, and I hate that. You know, you hate to say something like that, but it's mm-hmm. but it's the truth. Because the Word of God was just like a seed.
Mm-hmm.
You plant that seed, it's first the blade. then the ear, then the full corn in the ear.
Yeah.
The good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You
That's
see,
right.
It's the more you apply it, the better it gets, the easier it gets. So mm-hmm. when a person gets saved, like I said, the best thing they can do is begin to get into the Word of God and study. Just don't go to it. Listen, people say it don't matter what church you go to. Well, that's not so.
That's not so.
It's not true at all. I'm not trying to be ugly here, but you know, and everybody ought to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It matters what church you go to.
That's right.
You see, you need to be able to be taught how to live and not die.
That's right.
You need to be able to be taught the word of truth. You need to go to a church that still preaches that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God and that allows the Holy Ghost to move.
Yeah.
Now, you got this bunch nowadays that won't allow the Holy Ghost to move, you know, and that's bad. It's bad because the Bible says not. It says, do not forbid speaking in other tongues. Do not forbid prophesying.
They're missing out on so much.
Missing out on so much. Now, don't get me wrong. People, good folks, go to those churches.
You know,
I love them, yeah, but that ain't right. You know, that ain't right. And you know, I've had so many people will call me up on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, my preacher don't preach that. Can I come down there and lay hands on them? And I get them healed, and they go back to the church.
Yeah.
You know, and they won't be long. You know, they call me back again. I said, well, if you come back, if you'll stay with me and stay under the word and don't let them uproot everything I've taught you.
Yeah.
You know, by saying that, you know, it's God's will for you to be sick. God's will for you to be poor. God's will. And that's crazy.
That doesn't make sense.
Don't make no sense to me. How can a benevolent God who lives on streets of gold, has a gate of solid pearl. His house, is built on, or the heaven is built on seven layers.
That's right.
I forget that bit. Yeah, I think it's seven layers of precious stones. He wants you to be poor. Give me a break.
That's right.
Give me a break.
You know, the Word of God teaches that we're more than conquerors.
That's right.
That's not always real to people, but when you do what Pastor's saying, when you receive the word in your heart, you will find yourself winning and conquering when you used to lose.
That's right.
It can be surprising at first, but after a while, a confidence comes, a holy confidence, not pride, but a holy confidence.
Absolutely.
And you can navigate. Sometimes you're the first person in your family.
That's right.
To be healed,
or to
learn information from the Lord, or to dialogue with the Lord.
Or to be a Christian.
Or be a Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. When Christ would heal people, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, religious people didn't like it.
Mm.
They wanted to kill Jesus because it drew a crowd, and then they wanted to kill Lazarus because it drew a crowd. And there is a pushback out there, but that's not of God.
Absolutely.
But the enemy is the one that's desperate. God's not desperate. He loves us. He wants to out. He wants to give us. He's providing the world with more light. When people see the light, they want to come in. They want it. And when we live by the standards of the world, we raise a standard. The standard and condition of our lives are elevated, and it's elevated in the sight of everybody. And when people see it, they want it.
Amen, amen. And you see, I was when you said that, I was thinking about one. Ever since I've been saved, okay, I remember when I got saved and filled the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, I came from a all these folks, you know, that tell me, oh, you just don't understand where I came from. And I'm thinking, buddy, you don't understand where I came from, you know. So they don't know where I came from. You see, people talk about coming from I come from the wrong side of the tracks. Well, there's another track people don't talk about, and it's on the other side of that track.
Yeah.
And that's where I came from.
Yeah.
And I found out that the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is on both sides of the track.
That's right.
And nobody, you know, and you can take the Word of God. Now, some people, I know that some people I did have a bigger hole to crawl out of.
That's
you understand?
True. Yeah.
But you can.
You can.
You can.
Yeah.
And you can get out of it, and you can climb to the top. God's not holding nobody back. The only person that holds us back is us.
That's true.
You know, you can grab a hold of the Word of God, and you can take the Holy Ghost and use faith, and you can come out of that hole no matter what you're in. And you can win, but you're going to have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added. You can't seek first your own kingdom.
No.
You can't say, well, me and God's got a thing going, and he knows me, and And he understands me. No, you need to shut up and quit trying to get your way and quit trying and lay down your life so that you could pick it up again.
Right.
You know, and so that you could, you know, I had to lay down everything, you know, and I had to give my life to Christ, everything I had to Christ. And then I had to learn how to overcome.
Yeah.
I had to be taught how to be healed, how to prosper, how to win the lost, how to do these things.
Yeah.
And it's found in the Word of God. You know, we're actually, I was asked recently to come up to, it's going to be September, I believe it's 22nd and 23rd, but if you're interested, you can go to Camp Meadowbrook. It's in Camp Meadowbrook, 2344 County Road 747, Coleman, Alabama.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it's a really nice resort up there, like Muzzle's Resort. It's a, like a camp here with, you can, it's really nice. It's got fishing and all this, but Pastor Chris Harrison with Church 212, you can go to his webpage, you know, Church 212 in Coleman, Alabama. He has put this on for the sick, and you, I mean, you can call up and get tickets, you know, to get a room or whatever. And there's going to be several speakers there. I'm going to be speaking. Some of the speakers, there'll be others beside me. There's my son, Dr. Jim McKenna IV.
Yeah.
He'll be speaking. Pastor Mark Manchin will be speaking. Two others, I think, or one or two others will be speaking.
Yeah.
And it'll be 2 days. But it's on healing. The whole thing is going to be on nothing but healing. People, you bring the sick and the afflicted, or if you just want to sit, just hear the Word of God taught.
If you want to see some healing like I do all the time, come on up there.
Yeah, we always have good healings. Amen. Uh-huh. And, you know, one of the things that I'm so excited about is that when you get together like that, there comes a corporate anointing.
It does. People come with expectation.
Expectation. That's right. So they're coming for a purpose.
That's right.
You know, and you know, it's going to be a great thing, and I'm excited about it. Plus, it's really nice. You'll enjoy yourself up there. There's a lake, you know, and I think there's a lake there. I see there on the river or lake. I know there's a, I've never been there, but I know I've seen pictures of it. You can go look at it.
Yeah.
But you can get all that information on you know, Church 212. Pastor Chris Harrison. It's Camp Meadowbrook, 2344 County Road 747, Coleman, Alabama.
Yeah.
But you know, we recently, I'm going to be ministering on, I won't get maybe, but a few of them, I'm going to be ministering on the 24, well, actually, I've got about 28 now, infallible proofs in regard to healing. But I just got through ministering on a What About series on What About Job. You know, and you know how we killed. There's a lot of sacred cows out there. If you can go online and listen to that on at vcflive.org, but everybody needs to listen to that because it'll set you free.
I
teach on. So a lot of people think that Job, you know, was a great man of faith. All right, and I don't want to, you know, mess anybody up because Job was a good man.
He
you understand? But he was a man just like you're a man and I'm a man.
Yeah.
You know, he had strengths and he had weaknesses too, but the Bible never says he is a man of faith.
It didn't.
It doesn't. And the first indication that I got when I was, the people talk about how wonderful Job was and all my life, that I never seen him in the Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call of faith.
That's true. That's right.
And I thought, well, that's just an indication. But then again, I went back and read the book of Job in light of answered prayer and in light of keeping the devil off your back.
Yeah.
And I got to give Job some slack because it's the oldest book in the Bible. He didn't have no revelation like we do. So I give him some slack.
And Satan couldn't trip him up.
That's right. That's what's funny. Couldn't trip him up. That's right. And but Job was a man of patience.
Yeah.
It doesn't say he's a man of faith, he's a man of patience.
Right.
Patience is endurance. He knew how to take a beating. I mean, he could take a beating, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man. So that's the difference in patience and faith, hence the two words.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Patience and faith. And let me ask you a question. When you are praying to God, do you have to believe that God will answer prayer? If you don't believe God answers prayer, are you going to get your prayers answered?
No.
Well, Job even said, you can even read it from the Living Bible. It's even give you more graphic detail. But he says, even if I pray, he's not going to answer me. He didn't believe he's going to answer him.
Yeah.
you know. And somebody says, yeah, but Job said, you know, though he slay me, you know, I'm going to serve him. Well, that's wonderful, you know. Yeah. You know, but that wasn't the thing that continually held him, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's wonderful to throw your hands up and shout glory to God. And then, but if you turn around and say, you know, I'm no good, I'm just but a worm. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. The Bible says, you know, you have to know who you are.
Yeah.
Well, God called him righteous, but he didn't think he is righteous.
No.
So he didn't know it.
He couldn't read chapter 1.
That's right. He couldn't read chapter 1. See? But see, he didn't know he was righteous.
That's right.
Well, see, and see, he called himself a worm.
Yeah.
See? Well, you can't get your prayers answered thinking that you're a worm and God don't answer prayer.
No.
Now, thank God he got turned around.
Yeah.
When he said, you know, I see it. I got to keep my mouth shut. You know, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me.
Fear can wreck your life.
That's right. And he prayed for his friends. He got back into faith. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that Job turned the captivity.
He did.
I mean, that God turned the captivity of Job. He was in satanic captivity.
Because
it tells you who did it to him. God didn't do it to him. The devil did it.
And then he'll blame God.
That's right. That's right. He blamed God for everything.
He's an accuser.
He's an accuser of the brethren. That's right. And we just got through teaching on the part two of my What About series. It was What About Job and What About Paul's Thorn. I finished it last night on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it was eye disease and everything else you could think of. But it's not. It wasn't.
No.
He told you exactly what it was. It was a messenger of Satan, an angel of the devil sent to buffet him. The word buffet means to deal blow after blow, as waves buffet a ship in the Greek, to take with a clenched fist and to strike with an open hand slap. Well, Paul tells you what his thorn in the flesh was.
Messenger of Satan.